Last week, we talked about finding the will of God. And what we covered were ways not to find God's will. Let me remind us of some of those ways not to find God's will, some poor ways of discerning His plan for our lives regarding major events. Men are coming forward and are handing out a sheet for you. Here are some of those ways not to find God's will. First, open up to a page of the Bible for immediate discernment. Just pray, Lord, guide me. Open up the Bible, point your finger, and that's going to show you His will. Not a good way to discern what God has for us. Having a nonchalant or unconcerned attitude about decision-making is not a good way to go about finding God's will. Making quick decisions based on a feeling of peace is perhaps a little more debatable, but probably not wise. Putting out a fleece, in other words, challenging God and in a bit of unbelief and saying, Lord, I will not follow you unless you show me, prove to me that this is your will by means of, and then you make some way for him to show you. Opened and closed doors do not mean that you are definitely being led. A closed door, maybe. Okay, if it's closed, you're not going to be able to get through it. But if there's an open door, it doesn't necessarily mean that's God's will for your life. Bargaining with God. God, I'll apply for a car loan. And if I get it, then I know you're going to, this is the car for me. That's not wise. The thought that God's will is automatically unpleasant for me is not helpful. Okay, it is not. Okay? He gives us the desires of our heart. He doesn't want to make us miserable. That's not His goal. He wants us to delight in Him and enjoy Him. Making a decision right after an emotionally charged event. So you might be at a camp, maybe as a teenager, as a family camp, and as an adult, and the speaker of the week is just used of the Lord to stir your heart, and God's Word is working and the Spirit is moving, and He preaches a message and perhaps challenges the folks about the mission field. And right after that, He gives an invitation or says, take 30 seconds and think about it. And you just on the spur of the moment, without having considered it in the past, decide, okay, I will be a missionary. That rapid, quick decision after an emotionally charged event, probably not a wise way to go about making a decision. The idea that God's will is mysterious and mystical is not true. Okay, it's not. God does not purposely keep His will from us. Now, there may be some need to wait for His will, but the idea that it's always going to be mysterious is just not the case. Another poor way of thinking about decision-making is the idea that God's will must be given in a certain verse or set of verses of Scripture. That may be the case, and it often is true, that in His revealed Word, we already have the decision made for us if we search the Scriptures to find it. That is true in many ways. But there are some decisions about which God's Word will not directly guide us. What car to choose? What house should I buy? There will be some principles that will help us to make those decisions, but specific verse, not. God's will for me is permanent, is another unhelpful idea. His will may, at the time, seem permanent, but He may lead you on to something else. And then, what others demand. A pastor is not designed by the Lord to tell you what you should do, give you advice for certain. Okay? A parent, well, if you're 10 years old, okay, but if you're 20 years old or 30, and especially if you're married, now the parent makes a demand. Well, that's not how God's word would guide. So yeah, depending on age and so forth, there are demands that the children must follow. But these are things about which we must be careful. So that's what we did last week. Some poor ways of discerning God's will. Today, we're going to answer this question. What are then the steps that I should follow to find God's will for my life? Today, we will be talking about major choices in life. Not little ones, though there will be help even in those, but not little. These are major decisions, such as, who should I marry? Do I go to college, or should I work right after high school? If college, what major should I take? If work, what job? Or if I already have a job, and another one's being offered, or a better wage, should I change jobs? How does God want me to serve Him in my local church or possibly elsewhere? Is God calling me to church ministry or the mission field? And then there are all kinds of decisions about spending money, such as what car to buy. Should I rent or own a home? If I rent, how much should I spend? If I own, how big or nice or what kind of a mortgage should I take on any debt? And so on and so forth. Major decisions. So the question then is this. How do I go about finding God's will for my life when faced with a major decision? What are the steps to finding God's will? Let me say it again. What are the steps to finding God's will? Our Lord, I've put a lot of time into this message, and it's not been an easy one to refine because there is so much Scripture, and there are so many important matters to discuss. We pray that for each one who's here and old enough to understand that he or she will be equipped to make life-changing decisions because of what you are going to teach us from your word today. Give us wisdom. Help me to be very clear and concise. And may this have an impact upon the rest of our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What are the steps to finding God's will? There are six of them. And you have a handout that has two parts. The first part is a fill in the blank, the six steps. Okay, so as we're going down, you can just take a pen and fill those in. The second part is something that over the years I've found to be really helpful. It was written years ago by a man named George Mueller. He was the man who founded orphanages to prove God's faithfulness, to show people that God was still at work and to help orphans in the country of England. So I'm not following his, he's got six principles or points. My points don't follow his. Just happens that there are six in each. But he's got some very helpful information in what? About 3/4 of a page here that I would encourage you when you have some time to read. May want to keep this sheet and use this, put it on file or scan it and put it in your computer. But you might want to use this sheet the next time that you've got a major decision to make. So, What are those steps? Well, step number one is this. In order to find God's will for my life, I will confess and forsake all known sin in my life. I will confess and forsake all known sin in my life. Will we be able to discern God's will if we are harboring sin? I don't want to say that it's impossible. God may still choose to reveal His will to us, but in the process of determining His will, when we've got a major decision to make, listen to these scriptures. Proverbs 28:13, and I'm going to read them. This is could be a long sermon, and I've got to keep it, you know, within a time limit. So I'm going to, very quickly read these, but listen to these. Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. How do we find God's will if we are hiding and concealing sin? But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And when we're searching for God's will, confessing and forsaking sin, to me, seems to be the very first step. Ephesians 4:22, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. It may still be there and influencing us, but we ought to be in the process, by the power of God, of putting off the old self, which does belong to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. That's important. Deceitful desires. The old self is still with us. It's kind of like a wagon that's attached to the tractor. You want to maybe at some point take that wagon off, unhitch it, but unfortunately that old self just keeps hanging on. It ought to be, the load in the back ought to be lightening, but it holds on. And what does it have the potential of doing? Deceiving us. James chapter 1, deception, self-deception. If we're affected by deceitful desires, self-deception, it's going to be really hard to discern God's will. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles. We're just here in this world for a short time. I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against the soul. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're not saying that sinlessness is required for finding God's will. Not perfection, just confessing known sin. Holding on to sin is going to cloud our judgment. As R.A. Torrey said, he's got information that he's written on finding God's will that's also very helpful. I won't quote but a short sentence, but here's what he said. The shepherd cannot lead a stubborn sheep. If we stubbornly hold on to sin, we ought not to expect God's guidance. Here's an example. If you harbor deep bitterness toward your boss because he has yelled at you a few times when you messed up, you're going to need to deal with your bitterness toward him before you start praying about, Lord, should I stay here at this job or should I accept another? Maybe it pays a little bit less, but there are some nice benefits. You're looking at another one, or maybe it pays a little more. You're looking at it. It's going to be really hard to make a decision about moving if you're harboring bitterness, because what is your soul going to be, you know, telling you all the time if you've got bitterness? Boy, let's get out of here. Can't stand this. Ah, gotta, you know, exit this place. This guy is an idiot. You know, the flesh just wells up, and you know, I don't know that the Lord's going to lead us when we've got sin like that in our lives. So, step one, confessing and forsaking known sin. Step number two, in order to find God's will for my life, I will walk with God. We're talking about being dedicated to the Lord, being surrendered to His will and His lordship. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The worthy walk. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Walk the worthy walk in a manner worthy. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. If you're not aware, you probably are, but Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians were all written at about the same time. It was during an imprisonment of the Apostle Paul while he was at Rome. And there were different purposes for writing those three books, but there was a theme that permeates all three that we could call the worthy walk. Paul was concerned to communicate to these different churches the idea of walking with the Lord. Though not a prison epistle, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, also from Paul's pen, says, let us also walk by the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit. Walk side by side. If we could say it this way, arm in arm with the Holy Spirit. Second step to finding God's will is walking with Him, enjoying Him, delighting in Him, and His Word. George Mueller, on the sheet that you have, said this, I seek at the beginning, the process to make a decision, of making a decision, he said, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the trouble with people generally is just here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, could I translate that as when one is walking with the Lord and delighting in His Word, when one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what His will is. James chapter 1, remove self-deception. Be aware of the blind spots. Be aware of our own sinful inclinations. Get to the point where, okay, Lord, I just want to do Your will. Show me where it is. Step number three, when searching for God's will, I will search God's Word for clear commands. I will search God's Word for clear commands. The Bible very often has a specific verse that or set of that will guide us to God's will. Very often, God's will is revealed specifically in His Word about a given matter. So, step number three, after we've confessed sin, after we are walking with the Lord, or as we're walking with the Lord, I should say, then we search God's Word to find out if He has clearly revealed His will in the Scriptures. Study the Bible and seek answers. The internet can be a really useful tool when doing this. So let me give you a couple of ideas about using the internet. Be careful about what website you use. There are some websites out there that are not going to be good, not going to be helpful. But if you type in what you are searching for, it will be impressive how many sermons you will get connected with. Some of them probably not good, but many of them very good. There are some really good websites. Let me give you two of them. One, openbible.info. Type in openbible.info, type in a subject, and it will give you the top 100 verses. So it'll literally, without comment, just list out the top 100 verses. You say, well, how did they get to be top? Well, people voted on them. So was this helpful? So when you do a search, was this verse helpful? And you know, people will just click helpful or not. In other words, just purely God's Word. That's all that website does. And I think it will do more if you keep searching. But there's another really good one called gotquestions.org. This is evangelical, theologically conservative. I know of the people, I've never met them, but I know of the people that run it. Real helpful. Okay, lots of verses as well as helpful guidance. Gotquestions.org. Even better than the websites. Usually whatever's online is good, you know, sometimes is good, but almost always if you buy a book, there's going to be more help. Okay, free versus paid for something. So can I recommend a book to you that I don't turn to it every day, but it is excellent, and I mean like really, really good. When you are looking for answers from God's Word on a specific subject, might I recommend to you the MacArthur Topical Bible. Now, some of you have an older book called The Topical Bible. This is MacArthur basically just improved that old book that was written 100 whatever years ago. Okay, the Topical Bible is great. I've got a copy. I use it periodically. But this is better. MacArthur's book. So if you want to know, what does the Bible say about debt? Should I take on any debt ever? Or, you know, how much or what? Open this book. Alphabetically, it'll be by subject. Look up debt, and here's what he's going to do. He's not only going to give you verses about debt, but he'll have pithy little guidance points about whatever subject it is. So the Topical Bible is, by MacArthur, very helpful. Or if you have the older one, you probably don't need this one. But one of those two, really good. Just want to remind us, don't fail to search God's Word when you're making a decision, because it very often will give you specific. You say, well, doesn't it always? No, not always. There are some subjects where there will be principles to help us, but not specific. But boy, so often there is specific advice in the Word. Here's an example. Let me give you an illustration. A young lady might think in her mind, I want to be married. There's this guy, maybe senior in high school, or junior at some secular college, or maybe you work with him. There is this guy. I know he's unsaved, but he's open to the gospel, and he's willing to come to church with me. He loves me, and I love him. So here's what I'm going to do. Lord, please bless this. You know, I'm going to marry this guy. Please save him. Start praying that he'll be saved, that he'll come to Christ. Because of my testimony in the home, Lord, 1 Peter chapter 3, if there's an unsaved husband and a saved wife, the wife lives the life in front of... Whoa, wait a minute. That desire to be married, that's a powerful, maybe not for all women, but that's a powerful desire in their lives. So much so that they might ignore 1 Corinthians 7, which explicitly says, do not do that. It's a command to marry an unsaved, or if you're a guy and you, you know, pretty girl, and you're thinking, boy, all right, you know, she's coming to church, she'll come to church with me. If she's not a believer and you marry her, you are clearly contradicting 1 Corinthians 7. Twisting 1 Peter chapter 3 to say, well, I can marry him. No. All right. So God's word often gives a very clear command. Step number 4. All right. After we have confessed and forsaken any sin in our lives, if we are walking with God or as we are walking with Him and searching His Word for clear commands, if there is nothing that's explicitly revealed in His Word regarding that decision, then begin to examine or continue to examine the circumstances. Circumstances are extremely important. They are a major part of decision making. Look at the circumstances. Closed doors mean no. Open doors do not always mean yes. While seeking a job change, you find one option with comparable pay and another that is volunteer. You know, Lord, maybe you're single and don't have kids yet and so forth. Lord, which one of these should I take? Life at this job is terrible. And I really want out. Okay, I've got two options. There's one here. It's not the type of job I really want to work, but at least I'll be out of this position and this situation that's not been healthy for me. But then there's this, woo. There's this volunteer job. This is exactly what I want to do. This is where I would love to be involved, that career field. Well, examine the circumstances. Are you 18 years and still living at home? Or are you 30, for example, and living on your own? If you're living on your own and have to pay rent and need to buy food and have, you know, health insurance is a potential issue you got to consider. Gas money and insurance for the car. Maybe you have a dog you take care of. I mean, unless you have a rich uncle who has just died and left you $1 million, you know, the circumstances pretty much show you where you're going to go. The choice seems to be obvious. Not that it's guaranteed. Obviously, there may be extenuating circumstances that aren't in this illustration, but generally speaking, the choice there is pretty obvious. Step number five, I will seek the counsel of others. When we are making decisions, it is vital to seek the counsel of others. It's not my word, it's God's word. Listen to these passages. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Talking to, you know, leaders of countries, seek an abundance of counselors before making a decision. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 24, verse 6, for by wise guidance you can wage your war. Again, speaking of leaders of countries. And in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. So, seeking an abundance of counselors. You have at your disposal a group of friends. You have relatives. Maybe your parents are still alive. For most, they are. You have parents that you can talk with, should talk with. You have friends to talk with. There may be a wise counselor. There are church members that you ought to talk with. When you're making a major decision, seek a multitude of counselors. Don't just go to the yes person. Don't just go to the people who you know are going to side with you. Ask a multitude. Give them enough information so that they can in turn help you. If we ignore advice, if we don't seek it to begin with, based on Proverbs 15:22, plans will fail. Okay? In a multitude of advisors, when we're careful, as we're praying, there will be advice that will allow us to succeed. So, what about when there's conflicting advice? You've had that? I don't know how many times, but I've made a major decision. I'll have a split between the advisors. When I make a major decision, I call a lot of people. So, I'm not going to weigh 6 versus 2. Okay, so maybe 6 of my advisors, my closest friends and confidants, said go this way. 2 of them had really good arguments for going the other. I mean, I'm not just going to automatically side with 6 because there are, but that has more often than not been the case for me when I'm making a major decision. Split advice. So what do you do then when there's conflicting advice? Step number 6. Before I even say the step, let me preface it by saying this is the advice that I found in, I mentioned R.A. Torrey earlier, George Mueller, that little thing that you have on your page, he says the same thing. John MacArthur's got an excellent little book. It's, I think, about 100 pages. Found God's Will. He says the same thing there. Gary Friesen, in the book by InterVarsity Press, on finding God's will, he says the same thing, and there are a host of sermons online and things that you can either listen to or read that will give you the same advice. But here it is. Once we are walking with the Lord, we are delighting in Him. We are enjoying Him. We are searching His Word. We've sought advice. We have confessed sin. Then we've got 2 options, or maybe there are 3, but let's just say 2. 2 options left. And advice is even split on which way to go. What do? Here's the advice. Step number 6, I will choose the option I want. I will choose the option I want. If you're right with God and you have multiple options, then do what you want to do. I believe God will lead you as you make that choice. This is what His Word says. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Delight yourself in the Lord. When we are delighting in Him, Delight yourself in the Lord, and He might give you the desires of your heart. No. He will give you the desires of your heart. If we're walking with the Lord, and we've got two options, and we've searched the Word, and we've asked for advice, we know, you know, that either one of these is good, then simply choose the option that you want. Because when you do that, if you're walking with the Lord, He has given you that desire. So pick that option. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you. In the Greek, God is in the process of working in our souls, in our lives. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. What is that saying? As we're walking with the Lord, what is God doing in our hearts? Well, He is tenderizing us, and He is guiding us, and our will becomes His will. His will is worked into our minds. So, He is in the process of working on us and growing us and affecting what we do, our wills, and the things that we do, our work, for His good pleasure. So, what should we conclude? If we've gone through these earlier steps and we have two options still, then simply choose the one that you want, and God is going to bless that, I believe. When you are walking with God and have a sanctified will, He isn't going to mislead you. If we're carefully seeking His will, He will prevent us from making the wrong choice. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is where this idea of mysteriousness ought to just be blown away. Just pick. You say, well, what if after I pick God's will, there, you know, some bad things happen? Well, that is going to happen. That will happen. This will be true. Don't doubt God, you know, during times of darkness, okay? What you knew to be true in the light, don't doubt when it becomes dark. God is going to lead you. He's not going to lead you incorrectly. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, well-known verses say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. He will make, if we are trusting in Him with all of our hearts, we just want to do His will. Lord, I want to do Your will. If that's the cry of our hearts, and we're not leaning onto our own understanding, we're not self-deceived, we have sought counsel, we've looked at God's Word for what it reveals, then acknowledge Him. Lord, I'm going to choose this option. I believe this is the way You want me to go. Then, what does it say? He will make straight your path. This will be God's will for your life. Simply choose, because He will guide you. Before we close, really as we close here, a word of caution should be given. This is found in Friesen's book, Decision Making in the Will of God. He put this really well. This sixth step, he didn't have six steps, I did, but you know, in that same vein of thought, I will choose the option I want. When it comes down to this last step, if God's will hasn't already been revealed in a previous step, when it comes down to this last step, here's a word of caution. Friesen says two things. One is good and one is bad. Okay? Here's the good one. If you are in the will of God, then you can choose what is right to you. But here's the bad. Here's what we shouldn't do. And the illustration was, if there are talking to a boy now or a young man. If there are three girls, then you can just choose one and God doesn't care about it. God doesn't have a specific will for your life. That's bad. The point that he was making as he was discussing that illustration was this. God does have a specific will for our life. When we say, you know, just choose the option you want, don't become then flippant thinking, well, okay, I don't really need to bathe this in prayer. I don't really, you know, okay, I don't, it's not revealed in His Word. Just kind of take a shortcut, make it quick, just hurry up to the decision. God doesn't really have a specific will in my life. That's not true. He does have a specific will. He is guiding you. And He will show you with that very straight path directly to His will. Just choose, but don't look at it as, well, okay, it doesn't really make a difference. It does. Be careful. So we conclude with a few principles. Major decisions should not be made quickly. Major decisions should be bathed in prayer. God does have a specific will for my life. He wants me to know what His will is and is guiding me to it. He doesn't want to keep it mysterious. He wants me to know what it is. His will isn't mysterious, and the process of finding it should not cause us great angst. Trust in the Lord, and He will guide you and give you the desires of your heart. Our Lord, as we make decisions in our lives, we pray that You will give us biblical wisdom, good friends and advisors, patience, sometimes to wait for a while before a decision is made. I pray for those who are here who are in the process right now of thinking through a life-changing decision. For the teenagers here who are looking at college versus work. For some of the young people who are considering marriage. For some of our men and women who are in the workforce and are considering job offers or maybe considering leaving a position because of some difficulties. We do pray that You would grant them Your mind. Guide us, we ask, in Jesus' name.